Severus, please. Read one verse from the scriptures, and that is found in St. John 11, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The master is come and calleth for thee." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you, come, please be seated. Who is speaking on the topic the prophet preached on, and entitled "The Darkest Hour, Then Jesus Comes Along." The prophet spoke in the preamble before he went into the subject about the gifts. The gift that the Lord gave to him, how it worked. And I'm going to read some of it because that area cannot be paraphrased in narration. And let me read paragraph 11 first. So no man, no time ever does anything like that unless first it is showed by God. Now, I mean, just ask of faith to go do certain things. The preamble to this statement of the prophet was that somebody criticized the prophet very bad, and a brother was telling the prophet that, "May God grant it that prophet will be prophet indeed. That the prophets nowadays are no more like the old time prophet. That if it was like the old time prophet, this kind of person, that the press that he used to publish that criticism, they will call down fire and to burn it up." Well, the prophet told the brother that, I don't believe you really mean it from your heart. You know, the way the prophet used to take excuse for people, you know, say, "I don't believe you really mean it from your heart." The person said, "I really mean it." And the prophet went ahead to tell the person that the person cited the scripture of how Elisha got angry and caused the children, how Elijah called fire from heaven and burned those captain of 50 and 50, the first group, the second group, burned them up, and the third one came to plead for mercy. And the prophet said that those prophets, sometimes all those things are not given in detail in the scripture. He said, "But there is no prophet that does anything anyhow except God." Like Elijah, when he carried those people to Mount Carmel for a showdown, and he said that we should prove who really is God. If it is Baal, let's be serving Baal. And if it is God, Jehovah, that they know to be the Old Testament, then let us serve him. That why are you halting between two opinions? Which we have people like that every time, that do halt between two opinions. People that are not balanced on maybe how to serve God, how to please God, because they listen to too many people. This one say this, this one say that one, and they don't know which way to turn. And of course, this idolatry
worship of idolatry has some things that catches people's attention, has some things that is captivating sometimes, and the people think that God is in it. No. If some of this idolatry will come and display for you here now, you will see the display of some supernatural. But those supernaturals are not for good. Nothing good inside of it. It doesn't bring improvement. It doesn't bring deliverance. It doesn't bring no healing. It doesn't bring solution to any problem. It just something to amuse people, to make people to admire and to those kind of a thing. But God doesn't do that. Every miracle that God does, the prophet said, and according to the scripture, God does it for an understanding. He has an intention. He has a target. He has a reason. That's why he said that in the wilderness, as in Psalm 105 to 106, he said that, see, our fathers understood not thy works in the wilderness. Those miracles that God does, they didn't understand it. They took it for entertainment. And that was why when they got to the junction, when the things that God was teaching them ought now to be put to practice, because they did not have the understanding and the revelation of the reason of those miracles, then they failed God. That was why they failed all the tests that God gave to them in the wilderness. But every miracle that God does it for an understanding. Every gift that God gives to mankind, he gives it for the blessing of the children. He doesn't give it for the edification of the person that is carrying the gift. And in most cases, the carrier of the gift does not benefit from it. It is for others. So, it's just a tool in the hand of God. Though the prophet said it here, as I will still read, that there are many preachers behind the pulpit that are there for meal ticket. Though it's very bad to be said, they themselves have admitted it. So it's not just a hearsay. It's taken to be like business centers. May the Lord be gracious to us. And the prophet said that if you watch Elijah at the ending of this thing that happened between him and the prophets of Baal, he said, let it be known that I have done all this according to your commandment, according to your word. Which means that God has spoken to him earlier before he threw the challenge. So, the prophet said here, no man, no time ever does anything like that unless his force is showed by God. Now, I mean just acts of faith to go do certain things, but I mean something definitely that you know is going to take place. See, now, if you bear with me an extra 5 minutes, so I could kind of tell you a little bit about vision, will you do that? What visions are and what gifts are is nothing but is God making himself known in this age to people, similar as he did in the old age. See, now everyone knows that the prophets of old, like Joseph, we know that he was born a seer, hated of his brethren, loved of his father, and he portrayed Jesus Christ in every manner. Don't you believe that? Joseph, that we have his account, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. We have his account in Genesis. And majorly, he came to limelight in Genesis 37. Because that was where his father sent him to his brethren. Because of the two dreams he has had, and his brethren have already hated him in their heart, because they understood what the dream is talking about, that his brethren was going to bow to him, and that it will come a time that he will become like a lord over them. And they are wondering that, what are you saying from your mouth? This dream or revelation, they are from the devil. They cannot be. But if you watch, the prophet said, when God brings information like that two times, it's a confirmation. So God confirmed it to him by bringing it one, another one brought it, like he did to Pharaoh two dreams, though the contents of the two dreams are not exactly the same, but they are speaking of the same thing. So also the dreams of Joseph. And his brethren fearing that this kind of dream that this boy is bringing to us, I think we have to stop him bringing this thing. Number one, it can never come to pass. They are going to make sure it doesn't come to pass. Then number two, we don't want to be hearing anything like this again. So they made the effort to terminate their coexistence and also whatever vision or future is looking at, that it should never be. Far be it. And you know that their efforts was only pushing the matter to how God wanted it to be. And that is the efforts of man that one proposed in himself to act contrary to God's program or God's way. That is how you are going to be walking towards the way God really wants it to be. The best thing that a human being can do in life is to surrender to God and say, have your own way in my life. Guide me and lead me, I yield myself to you. But if you want to prove that you are somebody, in fact, may the Lord be aware. Look at Christ and Joseph, they type themselves in different ways. The prophet told us of that, but let me jump to paragraph 16. Now, dear beloved friends, we have to admit that many of those gifts are impersonated. That's today, they are genuine, that is fake. Why? We know that they are just pretending, but here there is a real gift. There is many preacher that enters the pulpit just for what money he gets out of it. I hate to say that, but that is true. They admit it, that is right. Say, why? I will not go over there. Well, look at the money I'm making here. See, why? They wouldn't do it. Sure, and it's for money. And there is a real genuine minister of the Lord Jesus who will lay on his stomach and drink branch water and eat soda crackers in preference of fried chicken every day to preach the gospel and to stay in the will of God. When somebody figures calling, those are the things that go with the calling. You know, sometimes some people might think that when you travel to somewhere, money will go in. I tell you, nay, sometimes people give. Sometimes you go to somewhere that you spend there more than what they will ever give you. And sometimes, as they are giving you from here, people from that same church are also coming this way to come and collect what you are just giving here now. They are not going to say, bring that money. But when they say, sir, I want to see you. And they narrate. As they are talking, they are looking at your eyeballs. And the end of it, you know what, the thing will finally end it. May the Lord be merciful. I went somewhere, I wore one of my dresses. A brother shook my hand and said, if you can give me this dress, then later I will give you another better one. Well, I laugh. Because I cannot walk naked from church. So how do I give you this dress? If you have talked about shoes and he wasn't having one, I can give. But the dress I wear, how do I give you? I've traveled out of the country even, and I wear a dress, somebody asked for it. I sent the clothes back to him. And I left the clothes in that country, I came back, went to the market, buy another one. All those things are possible. But the very single dress you have, same thing, remove. You know, is that why it's not workable? No? I'm just giving you an example. So ministry is not a bed of roses. It's not a place of pleasure, a place of enjoyment. There are so many things that go with it that is beyond what you see openly. May the Lord be our help. Right. Now the prophet said, Where you see the negative, there is bound to be a positive somewhere. And now, if you notice, an humble saying this, now gives and callings are placed in the church by God and God alone. No seminary never made a preacher. Now, for if this is strange to anybody here, when we talk of seminary, seminary is a school, a Bible school, where just like you go to university or any college, where people learn about the Bible. Now, the prophet is against it because the Bible did not establish it. Jesus Christ never established one. All the disciples that he called to preach, whether the 12 or the 70, he never sent any of them to Bible school. Only one school he sent them to, which is specified in the scriptures, Acts chapter 1, is the school of the Holy Ghost. Say they should tarry in the city of Jerusalem, not tarry in the seminary, not tarry in theological school, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from high. He said, then, after you have received that power, then you will be my witnesses. Then you cannot go and preach in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, including Nigeria. That is what God established in the scriptures. These seminaries that are established today by most of the big churches, because once a church gets big, they have their seminary. If that is blessing them, is helping them, good Lord. I'm just saying that it is a place where their lecturer are sinners themselves. But for academics, whatever, they can teach. We all did Bible in the school. If you go to secondary school, Bible is one of the subjects. There are many Muslims that used to score A1 in the Bible. We call it RK, CRK, Christian Religious, CRS, Christian Religious Studies, whatever. So, and people, Muslims, they score A1. Even some church boys, even score less. But Muslims, once you are brilliant, you can read, you score good marks. But every knowledge is different from revelation. The word of God, reading it or hearing it, can first of all give you a head knowledge about what the Bible is saying. But there is another thing that nobody can give to you. It is only God. That is revelation. And that revelation is the spiritual understanding of the will of God. And Jesus Christ himself said that it is upon that I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will prevail against seminary. It will prevail against theology. For it cannot prevail on the revelation of the word of God. That is where God's children stands. Amen. God had to call his preacher. Don't you believe that? He might learn a Bachelor of Arts, or he might be a Doctor of Divinity, but that don't make him any more of a preacher than when God spoke to his heart. That's right, that is true. And so I believe that. The prophet was preaching one time, the prophet said that Oman Nivi is a greater preacher than Billy Graham. And apart from Jefferson Sufi, they did not know Oman Nivi anywhere. The only knowing in Jefferson City that has just few thousands of people in that place, in that village, that's where he is, where he pastors, deputized to Brabram himself. Outside of that place, nobody knows him, except if Brabram mentioned his name outside. But Billy Graham is known all over the United States and several nations under him. By the time he died, I don't think there's a country where he is not heard of. Billy Graham. But in the spiritual arrangement, Oman Nivi is a greater preacher than Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or any of the big people that you have. hope that is not offensive. But God says in the first, in the church, first apostles, and then prophets, and so forth. God places in the church. Now those divine gifts in the church are for the church and the perfecting of the church. To call the church to one big body, and any true minister will never draw lines. Just because you don't believe with me, you are not in it. We all recognize one another as brothers because Jesus died for all of us. And God loves us all. Don't you think so? That is right. Now, groups of men draws barrier lines. Now, it is all right to have denominations, but recognize the next man too is your brother. See, that is the way. Is get love in your heart, and you will do it. I just want to get to where I'm going quickly. Now, the prophet wants to bring in an analogy to explain his own ministry and other gifts. Now notice, now if I might illustrate something to you, I know it's going to question in your mind. So when others get others question after it's gone, visions is not no great outstanding phenomenon. It's just something God has done. Now we are going to give a little illustration here, just a moment. For instance, we were all little boys and girls, and we were standing tonight. And there was a great circus in the city. And it just happened to be that some of you brethren were stronger, bigger shoulders, and could lift a bigger weight than I could. Well, now, if there is a weight to be lifted, you better lift it. Because as we are here, all of us don't have the same strength. We don't have the same height. We don't have the same power. We are not of the same age. There are things that somebody will do, somebody else will not be able to do. Now, let's go further. But perhaps God made me just a little taller than you, as we define height. If we stand up here now, you will see the head of some people will shoot out more than others. If some people are at the back of others, you will never see them. Because the one in front is taller. And because God is a God of variety. And to be a correct human being, you have to be satisfied for what you are. You have to be satisfied the way God made you. Your color, your height, your size, your whatsoever, you have to be satisfied. God has a reason, your sex, God has a reason for making you that. No, sometimes some women will prefer that if they have been a man, they will have been better for them. You don't know what you are talking about. Because as you are not man, you feel man, don't say have problem. Man get problem. Some men will think that if they are women, that they will have been better. Because they feel that looking at it from another angle, that a woman will just come and say, I need money for this. I need money for this one. That woman doesn't need to go and scratch his head out to bring him money. Woman also get her own too. If you also bring it on the table, you also say that now we came in now. What are we going to eat? Then calculate for tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, and then another day also. Then it's looking at this one, look at this one. And for that reason, if I'm a man, once I put money there, then that is all. May the Lord be gracious. Where you can perform best, that's where God put you. If God put you the other one, you will mess up. And you will hate yourself eventually. And you will tell God that God said make mistake. Alright, let's leave that. Now the prophet said, that don't make me any more human than you. Don't make me any more in charge of God than you, because I'm taller now. It just means something. Who taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Not what you do, what God has done. See, I'm not much of a legalist. I believe that it is sovereign grace of God. Now perhaps there's a carnival coming by or a circus, and we all want to see that circus. Well, we haven't got the money to go inside. We can't see it. So maybe on my tiptoes, I can look, because it's taller now, I can look through a knot hole up here and tell you all what is going on. Now, remember, I'm drawing an illustration. Some of you don't begin your sleep. May God be gracious to us. Some are addicted to sleep, that they don't even make effort to fight the sleep. And so even where they are positioned is so bad that they sleep easily, but so then clearly. May God be our help. I think the time has come when we have to be throwing some things to help the eyes of the sleepers. May God be our help. I see one sister, she sits down and really no position herself and put her head and sleep. All these things we are talking to, just continue to sleep. May God be our help. All right. Now the prophet says, now remember, I'm drawing an illustration. Well, you say, Brother Brown, what is out there? What did you see now? Well, I get my fingers up as high as I can, stand on my tiptoes just as high up as I can. I see an elephant. Come down, just give up. You see, what else do you see, Brother Brown? Well, I get up high again, just reach up. I see a giraffe. It's just making me weak because he's not standing flat on his foot. When you put your feet like this one, you are not straining, you are not stressing. But when you do like this one, you are straining yourself because you want to see something. So you, before, when you do this one for a little while, you will be feeling the pain all over your body because you are not standing comfortable. It's an illustration the prophet is giving. Right. Now, that is an illustration of what a gift is. Now, a gift of a seer or to give visions, that comes from God alone. Visions, the first thing I remember as a little poor baby boy was a vision. I was 18 months old when I told my mother where we would live at. And everything else, see that's right. And spent my life near New Albany. I was hundreds of miles from there. That is where I have lived for about 40 years. When he saw that, that something told him that you will live in a city close to New Albany. He was a small boy, just started to talk. Told the mother, him said, doesn't know what it means. But the mother know those words. But how it will be, the mother cannot explain. Like Mary, the incubator of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that she kept those things in her heart. Amen. See, it just comes just as natural to that as it is for you to do what you do. Well, now, I will give you an illustration. When Jesus was here on earth, all the power that was in God was in him. For it was God manifested in flesh. God made human in the body of his Son, Christ Jesus, tabernacle here. For the Bible said God was in Christ. Till today, majority of the people on earth, they cannot know the relationship between God and Jesus Christ. They don't know the relationship. They don't know the connection. So they cannot marry them together. So they split them separately. Split them. Call this one here. That's the Father. This one here. That's the something. That's the Son. Then this one here is the Holy Ghost. Which, and the teachers in the seminary, till now, they don't understand all that. But when you look at your Bible, you will see the Bible that it was written in dispensations. In the Old Testament, you are only hearing of God the Father. You never hear of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Why? God had not yet become flesh in the Old Testament. But as we step into the New Testament, in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 1, the prophecy that God gave, that let us reason together. That was where the prophet preached the message conference, where God was profiling the solution of human problem. Because in Isaiah chapter 1, all the effort of human being was weighed in the balance, and it was unwanted. Until God himself said all the offerings, all the new moons, the Sabbaths, the sacrifices, the atonement, he said all of them I reject. Because the purpose that God gave us is no more being accomplished. The people cannot bring it in the condition. Recently we started reading through the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look, if you have lived in those days, you'll be tired of life. Offerings you will offer in this life is unlimited. If somebody fall down beside you like this one and die, you are ready to fight. You can't go to church. You are defiled. And when we are defiled like that, before you can ever join the people to do anything, there are sacrifices you have to go through. If you don't do it, you try and you go fail, you will just die. If you understand the Old Testament, then you will thank God that you didn't live in those days. And that is how also, if you understand God, the way God made you, you will be satisfied with it and you will thank God for it. Jesus Christ is God made flesh. The Bible says God is a spirit. That's John 4, 24. And that same God, he gave a promise. He was speaking in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, about how Redeemer will come, how salvation is going to come, how this will come, and the rest of it. When he was going to do it, it was he himself that could do it, because he's the only one that have the blood of God that is pure, that can take away every other mortal. Was born by sex and they are corrupt. So their blood can never atone for anybody. The blood of Pope cannot even atone for himself. It's a perverted blood. Not even the blood of Abraham, not even the blood of Enoch or Noah or any of the prophets. As long as anybody is born by sex, is born defeated. But for God to be able to carry out this work of redemption, he himself had to create a body in the womb of a virgin that never knew no man. That is why you see Mary have immaculate conception. The Bible says that only thing that will be born in you will be called the Son of the Most High. That only thing. There is nobody anywhere that was born only like that. That is how we have God in flesh. And when God was going to make it, to bring it to manifestation, on the day that Christ was baptized, the heavens was opened. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove and came and rest upon Christ and abode on him. And John was told that whosoever that you are going to see that the Spirit of God will come and rest upon and abide upon him, that is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is how we have God in flesh. In the name, by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we have that, you don't have anybody anywhere having the Holy Ghost. From the time that Spirit enter inside, no mortal on earth has the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible told us that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 100% of this God that is a Spirit enter into Jesus Christ bodily. And when you take 100% out of 100%, how many percent do you have? Zero. The day the Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from the mother, fine. But the day that Holy Ghost entered into Jesus Christ, the little that John had during this one, immediately after that water baptism that day, you never see John preaching any other sermon. The next time you hear of it, he was sending a message to Jesus Christ to go and ask whether he is the one to come. And yet, he's the one that announces. He announcing when that anointing was sitting there upon him. Immediately that thing, he vanished, everything left him. Then this John was sending a message to Jesus Christ. Are you the one to come? Or do we look for another? Something you announced. You have been telling your congregation that somebody is coming whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, is greater than I. He will increase, I will decrease. All this one you have been saying it. I am baptizing with water, he will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You have told your audience and they have heard you. And when he comes, because he said that he has sent me to baptize, he told me that upon whosoever I will see the Spirit descending and resting upon, that is the one. You have told the audience. Now finally a man walked out and you saw that sign, and then he pointed to him and said that, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. That is the last sermon he preached. That is the end of his ministry. The little portion of the Holy Ghost that he had before left him and entered into Jesus Christ. From that time, everybody on earth, they are all just empty mug. No Spirit there. And he was telling the disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go, the comforter cannot come. Why is it that the comforter cannot come? He is the one having the comforter. All the comforter is inside of him. So he had to leave. He said, when I go, I will send him. So I don't see why the theology cannot see all this, if not because of blindness. As simple as it is, that is why we rejoice that we are able to follow a prophet. I'm not talking of CAC prophet. I'm not talking of a church prophet. I'm talking about a scriptural prophet, a dispensational prophet, a prophet that was vindicated like we have in the scriptures. Isaiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, and the rest of the prophets in the Bible vindicated that when they say it, whether you believe it or you don't believe it, is coming to pass. Prophecies that Isaiah gave, he never lived to even see the manifestation of some of them. He was the one that prophesied about the coming Messiah. He never lived to see it, and people have forgotten it. By the time the thing was coming to manifestation, the people have forgotten about it. But it came to pass. William Arrow Branham, if you get there in this message, he was telling us, he was warning the people in his own time. He said, you young people, mark it down that a day is coming that the churches will be forced to receive the mark of the beast. They will all go into a union. World Council, they will form the World Council of Churches, and they will be forced to receive a mark in their hand and in their forehead. And later he gave us the breakdown and the understanding of this mark. Some people today, understanding us of churches and preachers and things, They will say that a child was born so young. CCC was written in his hand. Blindness. There is no promise like that. The mark on the head, the prophet told us very clearly, it is to take the doctrine of the Antichrist, to receive and believe the doctrine of the Antichrist, and any doctrine that is contrary to sound doctrine, as such as you can prove in the Bible, starting from Godhead that God is one, it is the doctrine of the Antichrist. Anywhere they say that God is three, it is the doctrine of the Antichrist. So anyone accepting and receiving church is already receiving the mark of the beast in his forehead. And those doctrines, they continue like that. Now, the mark in the hand, the prophet says, it is for you to now do the will of the Antichrist. A time is coming when it is the Antichrist that will dictate what everybody will do. And the prophet told us that inside the denominations, some people that are blinded by ignorance, that they don't know, and they are honest people, honest hearted, whatever they do, you tell them they do. You meet some people with the denomination, they look in appearance so godly. They are innocent, they don't know anything. They are being deceived in the place. Some of those people, we see their testimony with their blood. When they now see, even though they have taken on their forehead, those are the other candidates. But when they now come to the practical, that is when they are going to be catastrophic. The prophet said that some of those people will be there. They will be ready to die. I can't do this one. You see some people in that place, even up to now, women, they don't wear trousers. Whatever is taken to be worldly, that we can call worldliness. You see some of them, they don't wear high shoes. They don't wear earrings. They even take chain as worldly. So they don't even wear it. And no matter what you see or what you believe or what you want to understand, when you are in the midst of such people, do away with chain. I will repeat. You say you want to doubt the prophet? I don't doubt the prophet. Check my word. When you are in the midst of those people, that when you have to do interact with those people that believe that even putting chain on is worldly, and you want to prove that you are more Christian than them with chain on your neck, it will never go over. It will never go over. You never enter school. You know they wear chain. Is that the admission that you got? Admission of church. You know where and when you did, but you now get. What did you are just doing? You don't need to write. May the Lord be our help. That was a direct message. Paragraph 22. Paragraph 21. See, it just comes just as natural to that as it is for you to do what to do. Well, now, I'll give you an illustration. When Jesus was here on earth, all the power that was in God was in him. For he was God manifested in flesh. God made human in the body of his Son, Jesus Christ Jesus. Tabernacle here. For the Bible said God was in Christ. The Father was in his Son, representing his love to the people on the earth. Now very simple. Now notice, now that gift that was in Jesus was like the whole ocean out here. Because he had the fullness. All the waters in the world, in comparison with this little gift, just a spoonful out of that ocean. Now, God gave him the spirit without measure. That is the scripture. Is that not? He gives it to you and I by measure. He measured me out a spoonful And the prophet is just using that spoonful, but not relating to that quantity. The prophet said that is the portion that you receive is like this bottle, as small as this bottle. When that one does, now that one, he used the head of his nail as illustration. Just small thing like that one is what that you need. It will neutralize the nature of Adam in your system from head to toe. I read one quote one time that when a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, the new Spirit of God, from the crown of his head to the toenails of his feet, he's changed. It's not that you just start to jump and do some acrobat. No. You just walk normal as you walk before. Do normal, but you just find out that your thinking will change, your habits will change, your desires will change. What you count to be something that you value will change. You'll be thinking like God. Your thoughts are as if God himself is thinking. Where God, you have a discernment of where you go. You have a discernment of who to meet with, who to company with. There is a level of discernment with you that will let you know that this environment, the spirit inside of me, detests it. Not just everywhere you just go. We are not here for ceremonies. It's not every ceremony that I go. What is the ceremony? Ceremony of beer is not taking. You compromise your faith. You are the type that want to attend. They will be forced to carry beer. Then your faith will defy. If you don't watch the environment, there is your heart. Oh, merciful God. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. We are not area people. We are a different people. We are not here to please human beings. We are here to please God. Yes, sir. In pleasing God, anybody that is offended is offended. But you will be better off to stay away from some certain environment. If not, the little faith you are trying to gather will just be defined. Neighbor. If somebody says, there is no light. I just want to quickly keep this inside your freezer. You come and look at it. Najembele, champagne. Do you have the boldness to say, please, this thing cannot enter my freezer? You have that courage? You have that faith, it will be tested. You will be tested with it. I told you before, let me repeat this testimony. My very uncle that is the next after my father that employed us in the government service. He called me that he wants me to go and testify for him and call this and that. I said, sir, this thing you want to call me for, what we are explaining, that's not what I understood about this case. What I understand about this case is that this thing is as a result of kickback that you got from the contract you awarded. He raised up his head. He looked at me. My eye no change. He looked at the matter. I said, don't put my name inside, I will scatter this case. If you want me to go and say it in court that this money was as a result of kickback from the contract you told, oh, yeah, put my name there. Then he asked me an hypothetical case that, assuming that he killed somebody, and I know he's the one that killed the person. And they now say that if they can get one person that can testify that this is not the person that killed him or that they will set him free, and I'm the only one available to do it, say, what will you do? don't need to go back home to go and think about it. Now I have the answer. My senior brother was sitting down there with just three of us. I said, this is my senior brother, the firstborn of my mother. If he keep, and I know, and I'm asked the question, and I have to talk, I will get it at this man. I keep the question. As when he closed his mouth, nothing, he didn't see anything after that. That's my stand from now, from then till now. I don't care who you be. I don't care where you come from. I will take my stand. Jesus first, every other woman being second. May the Lord be our help. Anything you claim to believe, you are going to be tested with it. Now God gave him the spirit without measure. He gives it to you and I by measure. He measured him out a spoonful, but he measured it out to his son. The measure the whole ocean. See what I mean? But notice the same chemical that is in this spoon is in the ocean, the whole ocean. And all the chemicals in the ocean is in the measure of them that is in the spoon. It's the same kind. If you do the same thing, it will do the same work. It will produce the same life. Don't you believe that? That is what makes us Christians. Now, in case you don't understand what the prophet is saying, in the room this morning, some of the ministers, they were talking about chemistry and physics and the rest of it. Me, I keep quiet. I don't go for any of them. I don't study no chemistry. I don't study no physics. Not that really, but I school in the bush where we don't have teachers. The only teacher they gave us for physics was a white man from Sri Lanka. We don't hear his intonation. So how will he teach us? We just laugh. Finally, he has to leave. Because he is not communicating. They gave us one mass teacher that will put one bottle of aqua in his pocket to go to school. When we get to school, there is a cassava plantation. We enter there and empty that. If you enter class, God will message to you. Whether the way you, if you laugh, the way we beat you, is like a murder. When we notice that one, as man enter here, we pass out from there. That was the end of mathematics. That is what killed our education. So I hear them beat this one, say, and chemistry as a beat this one, say, physics is an answer. I will just listen to them. What the prophet is saying here is that, let's assume this is the ocean. If you take water from this ocean, and then a cup, we put it down here. If you take a portion of this cup to the laboratory and test the ingredients inside, and you also test any portion of this one in this ocean here, they will eat the same thing. Because they are part of each other. It's only the quantity that differs. But in quality, they are the same. What the prophet is trying to explain is that the spirit of God in Christ was 100% involved. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Is the Almighty God complete? But the one he gave to us is little portion, but the same quality. In holiness, in righteousness, is the same quality. Now, nevertheless, because we are inside this flesh, we can make some mistakes, more small mistakes that he doesn't make at all. That's the difference, spiritually speaking. Then, another level that in works, of faith, do this, do that, do that. He doesn't need to pray. Jesus Christ never go and pray, and let me be able to raise this dead. Only one time he said, Father, I thank you, because you have had me already. He said, just because of these people that are here. He doesn't need to pray. And that is one being in the scripture that never says, thus saith the Lord. Because it was a law. He will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. He will say, you have had them of old. He's talking to all the Old Testament prophets. You have had them of old. Say this, but I say unto you. He is telling you that I am one that sent them. They are my messengers. There is a reason I gave it to them. Because one time they were trying to differentiate between him and Abraham and the rest of them. He said the Moses that you see, he was not the one that gave you that bread. Does he have bread to give? He said it was my father that gave you the bread. And when they ask, where is that your father? He's living inside of him. This is the mystery of God as simplified. God is one. But he uses different appearance in different dispensations. Amen. God bless you. Now, Jesus Christ. Let us now look at him and the Father. Because we have said that he never said us, says the Lord. Oh, yes. Does it mean that he is all sufficient? In a sense, yes. In a sense, no. Now, Jesus Christ, the difference between Jesus Christ and the Father is that Jesus Christ is the body, while the Father is the spirit that is inside of him. So the spirit that is inside of him is the one that gives instructions about what he is to do. You cannot separate me and the spirit inside of me now. That is why he said that the Father walketh hitherto and I walk. He said, I do nothing but what I see the Father do first. What the Father shows me that I do is the eternal spirit inside of him. That one that came into him at his water baptism, that is the one he's referring to as the Father. That's the one that gives the instruction. That's the one that shows him the vision of what he's to do. And then the prophet is telling us now that a prophet, true prophet of God, that have a little portion of the spirit of God also, he can't do anything out of his own volition. He can't do anything by his own desire. He must have to wait for that spirit to show him what he is to do or what he is to say. The reason you have so many failures of those said Lord and prophets today is because they are prophecies in the flesh. By the will of the people, by the desires of the people. That is why all those prophecies are coming forth. It's not from the Almighty God. If a man ever says God says God does not come to pass, he is saying that God is a liar. And when you make God a liar, it means that God is lesser than a righteous man. Because a righteous man will not even lie. Amen. That is why we have the perfect ministry that we have today. Because he came through a vindicated prophet. He came through a prophet that was honest to the core. He came through a prophet that was humble than whatever you can call it. There is no, he never raised up his shoulder for nothing. He brings himself down. When he makes some statements of mine, that's actually the same that if he sends the people are offended, he will try to see whether I can bring it down. But sometimes God will have him repeat it again. One time he said, I'm the voice of God to you under inspiration. Some people are offended. As a man, you want to lie him down. But God told him, repeat it again. He said, when I said it the first time, I see the feeling. Say, for he asked me to repeat it again, that I am God's voice for you. From the time of Abraham, when Elohim put his back to the tent and discerned the thoughts of Sarah's heart, The next time we see display was when Christ was here on earth himself. After that one, the next time we saw a display was in this our generation. With the ministry that God gave the prophet, when he will face the others and do some discernment, then sometimes he will turn his back and start pointing to areas. Somebody is in this corner, from so so, this is your name, this is your problem, this is this and that, this is what I've gone through. Thus said, so you are here. If you go this side, sometimes to the balcony, outside, so the balcony this way. Sometimes it's on the platform, and then somebody is in the baptistry at the back. And he will be saying that the person I'm talking about is in the baptistry. When you have that type of a leader, that type of a prophet, how do you take his word? You got to take it as serious as when you see the Almighty God himself physically present. And when you have this revelation in approaching the word of God, every service can end your problem. Amen. Now the prophet explained, told us that he sees vision practically every day. Sometimes in the night, as he wake up like this, visions are happening. And this thing has started since he was a small boy. The period that he grew up to the age of accountability and he was a sinner, the gift lay silent for some years, but it was there. But he was already manifesting it while he was yet a little toddler. But when he got to some extent, for some years, when he was also like, because that body, that vessel has got to be consecrated. The Ghibli silence was not much was said. You don't hear much within those years. It was around one of those years that he had a gun that blew his legs. And he experienced like in a dream going to hell. And he promised God that I will preach because if you just let me come out of this room. God let him come out because he is the messenger for this age. He did not go into serving God immediately. He still had about another 6 years to 7 years before he came fully to serve God. And he started from Baptist. And you know what took him to Baptist? It was wife. Now woman carried to Baptist. He saw a very nice girl, Christian lady, that goes to church. He has attempted along the years to have one or two girls as girlfriends. He never did nothing with any of them. He said, I can go back to the judgment with any girl I ever move with, that I never touch any of them. God preserved that vessel. For God told him, don't smoke, don't drink, and don't defy yourself with women. For I've got a job for you to do when you grow older. And by the time he got to that church, where though it was through woman, but God got a hold of him there. He became a preacher there. Then God started dealing with him with visions and the rest. Then he told his pastor then, Rod Davis, that this is what happened. Rod Davis said that, what did you eat for supper last night? He said, I don't appreciate what you are saying, Dr. Davis. I can give you my fellowship card for that. Oh, Rod Davis says not to that extent. So what I'm saying is that what you are saying is not physical. I just had you said now that God has given you a gift of healing to take around the world and that you are going to pray for the kings and the potentates. With which education? You have a certain great education. We are just managing you here as a local clinic and your grammars are not correct. Are you managing you for just a patch of person here? Now you are now jumping saying you go the whole world. Which kind of it is that one? Abraham said, but I believe it. And gradually, God started to manifest. He got so much until this same Lord David had to be sending sick people to him for prayer. After he knew that true God is in this city. He said he will be in the house sometimes before he gets to church. That God have shown him the things that will happen. One time, God sat him back on an interview day and told him to take his pen and jot down all the people that will come for interview. He listed all the questions they will ask him and he wrote the answers. So as the people are coming one after the other, say, sit down, what you are here for is this, is that. Say yes. He told him the answers. The next person. God has told him everything for the interview. A person like that, you say you don't know what he's saying? Whatever he says, whether the thing fit me, it doesn't fit me, whether I like it, I don't like it, I have to follow it. The word of God, the Bible said in Hebrews 4:12, is sharper than two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is how the word of God is. So sometimes it cuts. Sometimes if it cuts the person preaching. Yeah. It cuts it. And it. He has to adjust and absorb it. Oh yes. Because the preacher himself is Christ. The preacher drops the anointing on the earthly preacher and he speaks. Now the prophet said the problem with denominational preachers is that when they get to something, they jump it. But a God comer will not jump anything for anything. But you will get a spot that everything that you want to read and everything that you are preaching, the grace of God, I'm taking care of it in your own life. That you preach 100% any angle, any area, you can see the glory of God. And the congregation should also get to that spot. We are every part of the word of God when it is speak to you, in whichever way, you can say, God, I thank you. Amen. Alright. I just jumped on some of the things because I just said it recently. So, paragraph 26. He look around, he sees the woman that is the woman with the issue of blood. How he did it, that's a secret. But he find out, he said, the little woman with the issue of blood said, your faith has saved him. Thy faith has saved him. Now, what that same word here is the Greek word sozo. Sozo means applying to salvation of the soul or body. Thy faith has saved him. Physically, just the same as I face safety spiritually. The same Greek word, sozo. Is that right? Alright, the same word that faith has saved him physically. Now, what was she doing? She was pulling from him. Now, the prophet wants to explain now the two types of visions that come. The type of visions that come when God is using the gift and when the people are using the gift. When God is using the gift, he says it doesn't get well. He said, but when the people are using the gift, it weakens him. And that is why he gave the example of the woman with the issue of blood. If the woman came and used the gift,
And how did it come out? She had. The Bible said that she had. Faith come by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. She had of Jesus. But before she had of Jesus, she has first of all had of human beings. One doctor dead there. He has the answer. She will go there. Tell her what to pay. She will pay. No solution. She will continue with that problem. They say there is a specialist in that place. She will go there. She will pay the money. After that one, no solution. She will hear again of another one that they say is an international man. He came from Harvard University. That one will also come and no solution. The Bible says that she has spent all and living. All and living. Normally, that is the case with we human beings. When we have done everything humanly possible, that is when faith comes. When we have things that will be done, faith does not come at that time. When there was no more money, she has visited every hospital. She has seen practically all the doctors. And yet the problem remains. And she's getting weaker. And she's dying. Then she asked about Jesus. Say, okay. What are we doing now? I'm not going for consultation. I'm going for solution. I'm not going for examination. I'm going for solution. If I can get there and I can touch the hem of his garment, if it is this man that you are talking about that you said he is, if I can get there, get close to him and be able to touch the hem of his garment, then that will be the end of this thing. This is something that she has visited every doctor. And she said that, the Bible says she said in her mind, in her heart, if I may touch the hair of his garment, I will make it. Then she went there, struggled with the weakness and the rest of it, and go, and touch the hair of his garment. Inside the crowd, then Jesus stopped. Say, who touched you? Peter says, yes, there's something I want to say. The way people talk about you, sometimes you yourself you act like it. Sometimes they will say you are busy. How you talk about touching? Everybody around, so many people are here touching you, pulling you here, because people are pushing themselves. So they pull you, talk, you want. You are talking of somebody touching. Jesus said, virtue has left me. I didn't say people touch me. I am saying that somebody touched me. The one you are saying is that people are touching me. But I am saying somebody. Somebody is a singular adverb or word or whatever. We are not getting for adverb or whatever. Singular. Somebody. One person. Then Jesus Christ begin to look round to see the person, because he will see the person. The prophet preached a message, God's eye. When he looked with that eye, he will see the person. As he was looking at like this one, when he gave to the woman the eye, he stayed, he didn't go further. So it was just him and the woman looking at each other. Then the woman said, well, as you look, I don't say you already know. This is actually my condition. This is what I passed through for 12 years. There is nothing I have not done. There is nowhere I have not gone. There is no money I have not spent. There is nothing I have not sold. I have done everything that is possible. No improvement. Before I finally heard of you. When I heard of you, I heard of what to do. I heard of your power, I heard of your glory, I heard of your majesty. I know that there will be solutions to the problem. That is why I came. So when I came, I wasn't coming for consultation. I came for the solution. That is why I didn't come in front and say I want to be prayed for or for you to lay hand on me. I just come and did what I've made up my mind I want to do. Because I know that once I do it, the thing will come to itself. That's why I come to touch the empty jar. Then Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The prophet is saying that it is that faith that works for individual. When you come anytime, any day, it is your faith that will work for you in any service, in anywhere. It doesn't matter the human vessel that is preaching or that is standing or is praying. That is not much of a concern. The main thing is yourself. The faith you have in God passing through that avenue, it will bring the results. When God himself wants to show his prophet things, sometimes he can see up to 30 visions in a day. But when he comes into the church and the gifts are operating, people that most of his audience are people with sicknesses. And everybody is pulling God. Let him call me. Let him call me. They are referring to the man and the gift. Let him call me. And as I do that, that one, the faith of the strongest is the one that comes upon we taught God. And then God will now turn the eyes of the prophet to the person. He said, you are just praying now that I should call you. Then he will tell everything about the person. And that is the end of the person's problem. The prophet says, that is why I get weak. He says, it's not even the preaching that made me weak. Neither is it when I see vision of my own self. Sometimes he's preaching, he's seeing vision. That one doesn't weaken me. But when the people are pulling, if it is the kind of pulling, they are pulling of faith because of a problem, they want solution, they want deliverance. And God now directed to that place. And let me say this by permission. A five-fold can get really tired and exhausted. If the audience pray very well before they come. If they lay their case before the Almighty God and say, in the sermon today, remember me. And in those type of services, there are a lot of digressions. Those digressions is to address the need of the individual that contacted God. When that one happens much in a service, after the service, the preacher is almost lifeless. Let's go to our subject now. The darkest hour, then Jesus came and knocked. As we just said about this woman, because we just preached about her recently, that's why we are not going to say too much there. But just, no, the subject itself was picked from St. John chapter 11. And the prophet told us here that there are so many sermons that the prophet narrated what brought Martha, Mary, and Jesus together to live together in the same home. The prophet told us that that cloth that the artist painted him on was woven by these sisters, Martha and Mary, because that was the work they do. While Lazarus was learning to be a scribe at the temple. But a time came when Jesus Christ was shown by the Father, by the eternal spirit in him, to live for a missionary journey. That I want to do something. Leave. This is your friend that you are staying together. He will be sick. He will die. Then that is when you come back and raise him. So he went. And as he left, the prophet said, when Jesus leaves, trouble comes. When he leaves, sickness comes. Even Jesus himself, for him to die on the cross, the eternal spirit had to leave him. That's why I say, my father, why has thou forsaken me? Because the eternal spirit cannot die. So God had to step aside so that the body can die. Jesus left the boat and problem Satan entered. Of course, Jesus, because we know by the scripture, I think Acts 90 or thereabout, in the seven sons of Sceva encounter with the one possessed of demon. Are you with me? When it was trying to cast them out, and the devil said that Jesus we know. We also know Paul. Also at Gennesaret, when Jesus was coming to the avenue of the road of the man of Gadara, which nobody passes again. That place has been dedicated for the man of Gadara. But one day in his missionary, with the people following him, he entered that road. Of course, the natives will watch and say that, this man did not know. Nobody told him. That is no road. The road is already closed. But you know what he's doing. As he moved there, when he moved close to the man charged. No demon possessed people. When they will charge. Maybe you have not gotten close to anyone before. I've seen people with insanity, whatever, before like that. There's a way they will charge. When they are close to maybe deliverance or so, they will charge. It's not the person, it's the devil inside. So, as he moved close, what have you come to do here? You want to come and torment us before our time? We know who you are. You are the only son of God. You want to come and torment us before our time? We know we are going to be tormented in the future. But why are you coming so early? Why are you coming like this? Jesus said, keep quiet. What is your name? Say, we are legion. We are many here. The prophet said there were 2,000 devils that were inside of the man. When they saw Jesus want to cast them out, they started begging him. Say, please, we have a request. Say, what's your request? If you are going to cast us out, give us another accommodation. Say, anyhow, accommodation, just give us one. Then he said, this adult swine. What about that one? He said, we are okay with that one. Then they went. Immediately they entered into that one. Those adult swine, they ran mad. They developed insanity immediately. That's why the Bible said that they ran greedily. Everything in life, they are scared of death. And they move away from death. For a terrestrial animal to be running inside water, it's not its own self. They ran greedily into that water and they perished there. Abraham said that immediately they entered that one, those demons left. That is what demon does. Don't run you to destruction, he will leave you. He is not going to perish with you. So, when that happened, so Jesus Christ is God in flesh, that Satan knows that he is God in flesh. So he left the house of Lazarus and his sisters, and Satan came around, afflicted Lazarus with sickness. They lose it. You Satan, you are coming to afflict our brother. His friend is quickly the same message. Please, quickly go and run. Go and meet him. Any of these things, we know his normal missionary route. Tell him that his friend is sick. You should quickly come, touch him, and then continue his missionary journey. They met him and delivered the message. He went further. The runners came back and said, we saw him. You deliver him. They will deliver him. We are expecting many times. But he went further. As he went further, they sent a message to him. Say, this is getting serious. Say, no, 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 no I'm coming. But when he's coming, he did not tell them. What will have happened? He didn't tell them. This time around, the thing God was, and he died. So the message they now sent to him finally is that he's dead. So you can continue your missionary journey. The thing is now dead. Just know that you come back and won't meet him. Then he told his disciples that our friend Lazarus is dead. But I go that I'm awaking him. He said, I'm glad I was not dead. The people who don't understand that. But the prophet said the reason he made that statement was because that if he was dead, they would be pressing him to heal him. But in this case, what the eternal spirit showed to him, what God showed to him, is that Lazarus must get worse and die and be raised up. So he stayed until he died. When Thomas asked that he died, say, he died? I mean, what are you? All of us will go and die with him. If all of us mention sleep, say, our Lazarus is sleeping. Somebody said, if he sleeps, that's fine. Some people are praying for sleep, they never sleep. Yeah, you hear that, somebody. Somebody said, if he's sleeping. When they saw that they did not know what is happening, and they were laughing, something that is very serious. He said,
Lazarus is dead.
What? You say what? He's dead? All of us go and die with him. Nobody is fit to live. That is our chief post. When we arrive, that's why they used to take care of us and feed us and do everything. Now he's dead, then all of us will go die now. So they were going. As they got to the city, nobody went to go and run to go and meet them. Matter that. How your pastor have come up? And you people said you told him when he was sick that the message was delivered. You said fourth time, second time. Now after he died, now he has come. Matter didn't mind him. He just went to go and worship him. See, Master, I know that if you have been here, my brother will not have died. Say, but I know that even now, whatsoever you ask God, he will give it to you. I don't think she knew what she was doing when she said that. But when you are under the right anointing, things take place. When you are under the anointing, when your heart is conditioned right, when you don't have a corrupt mind, because if matter have gone by, you say, Pastor, who can pass? A friend in need is a friend in need. When we need him, the cloth is here, they ask him how he got the cloth. If you are not the one that sold that cloth, here, does he go and come and bring God? We are the one that is the work that we do here that we used to feed him. When we need him, he vanished. We deliver to him the first one, say, the person comes, the second one, say, they deliver to him. He didn't come out. He waited until he didn't even bury himself. He didn't attend. That is it. What does he want to do with it? Is it cops? He wants to come and look at it. Let him go and share the cops. As for us, we know better for all those ones. If there had been the attitude of matter, the thing will have been, the story in the Bible will have not been the way it is now. But she ran to call Mary and said, the master has come. He's calling for you. Real believers, those situations does not change them. They still remain believers. Because the purpose of every trial in this life, the purpose of torment from the devil, is just what we got in the book of Job. Is to get a believer, is to get a child of God to speak foolishly and to curse God and to talk like a sinner, like a backslider. That is the purpose of every trial in this life. That is the reason Satan comes in every time he comes. The master of God is calling for you. Both of them wait. But the other people,
The sympathizers, so to say, they are there to see how they will rebuke the master. Say, master, you come well. You come well. This is time to come home. See how you come home very early like this. It's because of you we left our former church. We know what we suffer in the hands of the people. The thing our ear here in that place will be small. Because we are following you. And what have we really got from you? We have not, it's the same after living, we are living. Nothing has much, nothing. You say now you are desire, you are doing this wrong. When did it happen? To where you, we no see you. Now you say you are welcome.
You are welcome. Welcome. That's the time to come. You are welcome.
Every day I told you your friend that died. And so what to what again? Go and find another accommodation.
Your friend that died.
The bread will now be. So is it we now? You are still going to be carry body to mama. I beg, just shift, find somewhere to go. The prophet said they have the right to see all those ones. But something has worked upon them. Even though they have not yet received the Holy Ghost in their soul. Nevertheless, they were persuaded that this man, for everything he does, he has a reason for it. And they were following. He said, come and show me where you buried him. They followed him. And some of the people too, that were hypocrites. And some people too, that not fully out. They are just curious. They are also there. Different groups are also there in that congregation. Because you know why there are different groups. Because when the thing happened, some people believed. So when they say, well, okay, road is closed now. Because you expect a man to be the one to help in this situation. The prophet says there are things you need to do. If you yourself know that there is a stone of obstacle, and you are looking to go, you yourself roll the stone now, then you will see the miracle. If you cannot see any stone, God will take care of the situation. But there was a stone. Not that it's difficult for God. Who rolled the stone when Christ was coming from the grave? If I would say the angels, the presence of the angel itself, the stone will start moving. And this is Christ, our God in flesh. His presence could have made that stone to fling out of that place. But God has his approach for every situation. Roll the stone. It's not the size of the stone they were talking about now. What they were talking about now is the condition of the body. They say, master, by now is already stinking. This is the fourth day that we did the burial. Did I not tell you that if you believe you will see the glory of God? Does it matter how long you have been suffering? Does it matter how long the problem has been on ground? Does it matter how long the situation has been like that? It doesn't matter to God. When God comes, things change. He might have reasons for delaying things sometimes. That is best known to him. We spoke the other time of a man that was blind 40 years. Just to see the words of God manifest. And he lived in the world of darkness for 40 years. From birth until 40 years of age. That was when God came to open his eyes. What about William Upshaw? At the age of 20, he had a back problem. That was the man that Roy Davis, the former pastor of William Brown, sent to him. When he has gone to every pastor he knows, he don't even know anything about William Brown. Then one day, Roy David called, he said, come here. Have you heard of somebody by the name of Billy Brown? They were not knowing. Go and find out where he's having his meeting and go there. That's the solution will be for your problem. As they were moving him like this to the audience, a vision broke. Roy Brown says, I saw somebody that was a big man. I saw that while he was young, from the age of
20 like that, he broke his back, and he has been on wheelchair and things for all these years. Six years. Almost all the good part of his life was gone. But God has his way for everything. We know that on this earth, we came here to write stories. Those stories are for reasons best known to God. Because at the throne, those stories are going to be brought out one after the other as a judgment for some people. The reason why some did not believe, the reason why some doubted, the reason why some backslidden, the reason why some us God, and so on and so forth. As you are saying your own, God will bring out somebody's story. Oh yeah, come and listen to this one. You bring one, come and listen to this one. So everybody's life is a story. And it's for a purpose. Everything is going being documented by God Almighty. That at the end of the day, see what this one went through and never denied. See what this went through and he remained faithful. See what this one went through and he remained, his faith was still unshaken. In that service, William, as the prophet was speaking, a minister walked to him. Said, do you know the person you are describing? Abraham was just describing from the vision. Said, the man become greater and become greater. Then somebody said, do you know the person you are describing? Say, Senator William David Upshaw. Prophet said, I've never heard of him before. The vision was interrupted. There was a little child that has a problem. The vision turned to that one. When the prophet finished with that one, then they run a mic to go and give to William Upshaw. He said, my son, because at this time he was at the age of 86. My son, how did you ever know those things? Then the prophet said, just as God is showing me. Then he asked a question. Can I ever walk again? He said, that is left to the mercy of God. While the boy was talking, the vision went further. And he saw the man walking on top of the audience. So then the prophet looked at the coat he was wearing. Then the prophet asked him a question. Did you have this type of suit? He said, yes, that's what I wear most of the time. With this, he said, yes. See, I just bought one self yesterday. Then the prophet said, because of this time that you took for God, everything that we do goes into record. The day of payment, you don't know. But a day is coming for payment. They prevail, but then it was written in God's record. Nobody knew that it was written, but the day it was called from memory, because God is a God of remembrance, it was the day for him to collect the payment of his check. That's not the final payment, just a dividend. For you still have the major one, eternal life, but just the dividend. He was to collect from his dividends. Say, because of your stand for God. How you are against alcoholics, which God also is also against. You read in the scriptures, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2. when he was speaking to one of the churches, he said, "You, I praise you because you ate this thing, which I also ate." When you ate what God ate, it's in record. When you like what God likes, it's in record. And a day is coming for reckoning. When the prophet saw him walking on top of the audience, the prophet said, himself, looking at that one, he was almost fainting. A man that had been there for 66 years. And the prophet said, William Upshaw, God has honored you. Say, rise up on your feet. And the man not only rise up, the prophet said he was touching his toe. With me myself, to even touch my toe is very difficult now. My back says no bed enough to touch it. But this man, at the age of 86, he was touching his toe as he was coming to the platform. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power is supreme. But in most cases, it comes at the darkest hour. When hope is lost. When man has forgotten. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who have prayed for children for years, at a point they stop praying. They just say, we'll just have God the rest of our days. And yet, these are the people to bring forth the messenger of the covenant. The one that stands between the Old and the New Testament. This is the covenant to bring them forth. And when the servant of God, Zechariah, was doing service for somebody in the temple, then he saw a strange person meet him on the right side. Oh my, we have a prophet. We have a prophet. That angel always comes to the right side. In the scripture, it was the right side. And in the ministry of the prophet, it's at the right side. He just moved from church to church. This is a place that nobody else entered. Nobody else entered the place. The best is for them to tie the chain on to that person if they are not hearing any noise, you draw a man as a dead man. But he saw his man. What happened? Say, I'm sent from the presence of the Lord. Say, your wife Elizabeth will conceive and bear a son. And the name will be called John. Now you have got the naming service. We have left, we have forgotten about this thing. How do you think this thing can ever work? Even those areas is a closed case. The angel said, because of that my word, you will be dumb, not able to speak until this thing comes to pass. Are you a believer? Never you doubt a portion of God's word. That angel said, my words will come to pass in a season. But for you doubting, this is the punishment. God's promise will be manifested in a season. But you don't doubt. You don't disbelieve. Because your unbelief will not stop God. God will move on anyhow. And he will accomplish his purpose. And he will prove himself as the Almighty God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Your doubt will give you problem. Only believe. All things are possible. At the darkest hour, you will see him on the scene. Shall we rise up on our feet? All things are possible. The God that we speak about, he told us that we have two or three are gathered together in my name, said there I will be in their midst. And the prophet explained to us that when he comes, he don't come as an onlooker. He comes to heal, he comes to deliver, he comes to set free. He come to reveal himself unto us. He come to feed those that are seeking him with the Holy Spirit.
He comes to change lives. He comes to make the impossible possible. This is our God. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He's always on the scene. But if on anything, it looks as if it's getting later than your own timetable, never you doubt. Because he will come. At the darkest hour, when you are losing hope, you will see move on the scene. But as a believer, you don't doubt, so that you don't receive any punishment from him. The darkest hour, Jesus, he comes along.
In the valley, don't lose faith. May you meet these needs. May you solve this problem. May you heal these sicknesses.
May you scatter every works of the enemy. Wherever Satan is hiding, in any land, in any family, contrary to your will, may you descend, Heavenly Father, and scatter his plan in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, as you did it yesterday, when you came, oh God, with your light, darkness disappeared. When you met the man with the Lord, the man of Gadara at Gennesaret, full of 2,000 devils, you send them out. And the man went normal because of your presence. Lord Jesus, you are here with us today. We are your children. We are your offspring. We don't have any other God but you. Our trust is only on you. Though some may trust in chariot, some may trust in horses, but we put our trust in only you, Father, because you are our only hope. You are our only help. You are our only solution. You are our only answer. Master Jesus, one more time, may you move in the life of your people and scatter the works of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. May you solve every problem. May you answer every question. May you heal every sickness. Those that are seeking for the Holy Spirit, while your presence is here, may you make yourself known to individuals. May the power of your spirit break every power of the enemy. Break every power of sin. Break every power of doubt. Break every power of unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. May your people be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Let there come a harvest of testimonies from this for the glory and the honor of thy name. Bless your people. They are already blessed. And you say that whosoever blessed them is blessed. Your children are blessed. May they remain blessed. The blessings of Abraham, the blessings of Isaac, and the blessings of Israel, the blessings of the bride, the blessings of the pillar of fire, may it rest upon your children in the name of Jesus Christ. As your children go, may their presence dispel every darkness, Lord. Unbelief may be far from their Father. Doubt may be far from them, Lord. That sad faith that you gave to the woman with the issue of blood may be planted deep in their heart, Father. They have come to touch the hem of your garment. May you stop every blood issue. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. We are grateful, we are thankful. May your name be glorified. Thank you for hearing us and for granting our petition. Lord, when we meet again at 2 o'clock for the short service that remains today, may you come one more time and send your blessings unto us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. The Lord bless you. We dismiss straight away. Up to meet again. Okay. By day. The bad day people. Please, you can be seated. Those that have their bad day this last week, yesterday, I mean today inclusive, please stand and let us sing happy birthday for you. Nobody? Okay. As is the Jogunge. Who else? There's a little girl now. Only one. Maybe they are not plenty, that's why we forgot. Okay, let's sing happy birthday for this. What's his name? Joan. Joan. Olaleka. Joan. Everybody with the sister now. Happy birthday.
materials for the language will never grow. Shall we rise? 459 in our mansion over the Eto.
Mm-hmm.